And you're listening now to the Tangerine Dream Team show. I'd like to get this music going here. I have a wonderful guest going to be talking to us any moment. It's Tom Lodge, who is with Radio Caroline, one of the original DJs, and was early involved in the forming of Radio Caroline in near London in England. And he'll tell us all about your involvement and what's been going on in his life ever since.
Bass, Chris Dreher, Schlagzeug, Jim McCarty, Gesang, Keith Ralph, solo guitarist, Timmy Page, aus London, the Yardbirds!
This is the Free the Land show, and tonight we'll be looking at the economy with some samples from Ravi Batra explaining how the wealthy have screwed up this economy for the rest of us. And then we'll be looking at land and how all the money from rent is essentially unearned. And for the conspiracy corner, we'll be looking at the Knights Templar.
That excessive wealth concentration in the end brings about depressions. Productivity is rising too fast. Wages are not rising at all. Productivity is the main source of supply. Wages are the main source of demand. And what the government and the Federal Reserve have been doing is they have been postponing this overproduction by creating more and more debt in the economy, because this new debt will also raise demand to the level of supply.
Right.
A day would come when the consumers, the workers or consumers have been maxed out in borrowing,
Right.
The banks have loaned out so much money there that they will not be paid back, and then there would be a terrible banking crisis and a terrible overproduction problem because it had been in the making over the past 30 years.
Yeah.
Why I feel that a depression is on its way is that the government doesn't know the true source of the problem, which is the wage productivity gap. And secondly, it is misdirected in its spending. 70% of the U.S. economy is driven by consumers.
Right.
And about 10 to 15% is driven by investment. Mm. And investment is where you need all this lending by the banks. Home purchase and also business investment, they're financed by bank lending quite a lot. So that's where the bank lending comes in.
Right.
Now, Obama and George Bush and Hank Paulson and now Geithner, they're all focusing on the banking crisis, which means they're focusing on the 15% part of the economy and ignoring the 70% part. Or we need to raise wages all over the world. But if wages rise in the U.S. and not anywhere else, then we are at a disadvantage. So this international conference should aim at raising the minimum wage everywhere in the world.
You realize this is the exact opposite of what the World Bank, the IMF, Milton Friedman, even Thomas Friedman, all of these guys have been promoting for the last 30 years, which is to suppress workers' wages because they say that leads to what they call wage inflation and thus general inflation.
And the result is not a surprise.
That's right.
Right now.
And it brought us right where we are.
We need to raise the minimum wage everywhere in the world. Now, the traditional economies and perhaps China and all many other countries will say, no, we don't want to raise wages. Then the United States says this, okay, we are going to devalue our dollar so that we don't import more than we export. We will have balanced free trade, but not deficit trade that we have right now.
So you would drive trade policy with monetary policy over the short term.
That's right. And
would that not violate the WTO? Would that not be considered a form of export support, import suppression?
No, it won't, because everybody else is doing it.
I see. Okay.
China, Japan. Yeah.
Well, and China's been doing it forever.
Forever.
If we were to devalue the dollar, what would it mean to the average American? Wouldn't it mean that everybody in America becomes a little bit poorer, that everything becomes a little more expensive?
Prices will rise. But when there is mass unemployment, what happens is that rising prices invite new production inside your country. So
right.
there will be more production. More production means more incomes. So incomes rise faster than prices, so real wage will go up. In the opposite case, when jobs move abroad, you get lower prices, but your incomes fall faster than prices fall, so your living standard actually goes down.
Right.
Have an international conference in which tell the people, this is a problem, tell the countries, this is a problem, wage productivity gap is too high, we need to raise wages all over the world. That will create consumer demand. Banks won't need any help then because consumers will be able to pay back all their loans.
Right. It's also going to reduce the wealth of the super wealthy and increase the wealth of the working class all around the world. Do I have that correct?
That's right, of course.
But the odds are that because it's the concentrated wealth that basically runs the world, that they're not going to follow this, and that's why you say that you think that we're now beginning to slide into a real depression.
That's right, exactly.
Choice memory, Uncle Sam's desperation class.
raise wages all over the world. When jobs move abroad, you get lower prices, but your incomes fall faster than prices fall. So your living standard actually goes down.
Oh man, got the compliment. or lose it. Not a poor man got to walk the line just to pay his union due. I don't know now, I just don't know if I'm going back in. I don't know now, I just don't know.
We need to raise wages all over the world.
So it's also going to reduce the wealth of the super wealthy and increase the wealth of the working class all around the world. Do I have that correct?
That's right, of course.
But the odds are that because it's the concentrated wealth that basically runs the world, that they're not going to follow this. And that's why you say that you think that we're now beginning to slide into a real depression.
That's right, exactly. Excessive wealth concentration in the end brings about depressions.
Whoever owned the...
The other way we're getting screwed here is through the land values. The reason a lot of the jobs go overseas is because China and Russia, the communist countries, as well as India, have enjoyed socialism for many decades. So their land values are way, way, way below the market. And so people can live there on $6 an hour, and that's good money. Whereas here, where our land values are overly inflated from excessive bank lending and excessive capitalism, we just can't compete on a fair level. So we'll hear a little bit about from Henry George Society on land.
And after there were population increases came about, could sit back and not do any work. It didn't have to expend their labor, but could say, well, if you want to come onto my land and use it and be productive, you pay me a percentage. Everybody needs a piece of land to have, you know, exclusive use of. But then to collect this value that's created by the community, either by renting it out to somebody else or when you sell and capturing that, all of that capitalized value, it turns out that the rent of land is a completely unearned income, because that value is completely created by the community as a whole. If the community wasn't there, your land wouldn't have any value. And if you put that into private pockets, which is the practice here, then what you do is you set up a situation where it's profitable to make. How you make money is not so much by workers, but by buying and selling land, buying and selling the necessity, something that's a complete, absolute necessity for everybody. And I talk about it as buying the buying and selling the body of our Mother Earth. This is at the core and the base of all of our economic problems. This accounts for the disparity of wealth between the rich and the poor. Henry George, when he wrote back in the 19th century, proposed this idea that there be no taxes on labor or capital at all, that there only be a tax on land value. This is a practical solution that's actually been used in many places in the world, and in this country, in the U.S., the place that is, there's one state that allows this, Pennsylvania, has allowed cities to tax their land values at a higher rate than their building values. The whole point of this is not just some abstract thing of economic justice. It's a practical. The practical result is that Pittsburgh rebuilt itself. Urban blight ended. And all of our environmental problems stem from the fact that people can make money by speculating with the body of Mother Earth, either the land or with the natural resources. And if they had to pay, if everybody who owned a piece of land or had all our resources had to pay back into the community the community created value of that land, speculation in land would stop. And what would happen immediately is that the high cost of housing would come down, because the speculative value of land would actually disappear. And the only thing left would be the real value of land, which is much less than the market. So coming back to the current day situation of the housing market and the housing boom, the housing bubble that just burst, it's really the land bubble that just burst, this would have prevented all of that.
In 1649, this is in Georgia's hill. A ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's well. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the land in common and to make the wasteland grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it can be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No one has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the lands. Now everywhere the walls rise up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle as we heaven, or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to masters or pay rent to the lords. We are free men, though we are poor. You diggers all stand up for Goldie, stand up now. From the men of property, the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim, tear down their cottages, destroying their corn. They were dispersed, only the vision lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. The earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share, all things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the order came to cut them down.
Now we'll take a look at who that concentrated wealth really is.
Bilderberg is the name of an organisation, highly secretive. They have most of the European royal families, government ministers like finance ministers, up-and-coming opposition leaders from around Europe and the United States, and oil companies like BP, Shell, all the biggest oil companies. Their chief executives tend to go along. We also have the banking fraternity. We're talking about the heads of the IMF and the World Bank, Bank of International Settlements, and the Federal Reserve over in the United States, as well as the European Central Bank. Many people think that these banks are run for the good of the public. Actually, no, they're all private banks. Many of the heads of media corporations, such as Murdoch's News International and governors of the BBC, powerful people from the media go along to these meetings. Bilderberg started back in 1954. It's highly secret.
And if you'll notice, other than the media figures who are part of Bilderberg, probably just to keep it out of the media, the rest of them all get their wealth from land. Governments, the oil companies, resources within the land, and the banks. Banks make a huge amount of money just buying and selling land. Phone lines are open if anyone wants to talk about conspiracies.
Welcome to Bavaria. Everybody dance. You've heard that everyone is 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, but do you know the 6 degrees of Grand Exalted Mason? For everyone and everything has a rounded curl, the tentacles of the secret masters who control the world. I rule you, you rule me, someone rules us secretly. It's a vast conspiracy, the Illuminati polka. For several thousand years now, they've worked behind the scenes. They laugh when we buy Dockers, we've all got designer jeans. They know if you'll get the girl or pass the SAT. It's kinda like the Truman Show combined with D&D. I rule you, you rule me, someone rules us secretly. It's a vast conspiracy, the Illuminati polka.
Everybody's bank account is serviced by the notes.
The Masonic Temple gets the mortgage payment for your homes.
Commander Rice have kept Saddam from being caught too soon.
While Crowley and Blavatsky run Wall Street from the moon. I rule you, you rule me, someone rules us secretly. It's a vast conspiracy, the Illuminati polka.
The media say everything is awful, but that's okay. It turns out that Fox Mulder is really Kaiser Soze. If men in black are in your tub or birds consult your cat, duck your head, try not to think, and wear this tinfoil hat.
I rule you.
You rule me. Someone rules us secretly.
The Illuminati polka.
The entertainment industry just got the atom bomb.
Dick Cheney
and Al-Qaeda run Iran with your mom.
Your DNA's on CDR, so heads up PDQ. You may not have a hope in hell, but at least you got a clue.
I rule you, you rule me, someone rules us secretly. It's a vast conspiracy, the Illuminati polka. I rule you, you rule me, someone rules us secretly. It's a vast conspiracy, the Illuminati polka.
Fanord.
I just like to point out that recently the Free Radio site was hacked.
But there is a very, very close tie-in with the far right and Bilderberg and Freemasonry.
This government had an idea and Parliament made it law. Seems like it's illegal to fight for the union anymore. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Set off to join the picket lines, but together we cannot fail. We got stopped by police at the county line. They said, go on, boys, or you'll go into jail. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Well, it's hard to explain to a crying child why her daddy won't go back. So the family suffer, but it hurts me more to hear a scab say, sod you, Jack. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Well, I'm bound to follow my conscience, and I'll do whatever I can. And it'll take much more than a union law to knock the fight out of a working man. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
A vice president from a major international consulting firm came down, and who was also had connections with the National Security Agency, and knew that they had identified me and recruited me for this job, because economic hitmen work through private corporations, not directly for the government. That keeps everything much more secret, and it leaves the government out. The government cannot be implicated as long as this is being done through private consultants. Our job was to convince other countries to take very large loans, and then to convince the World Bank and other such organizations to give these countries huge loans, let's say $1 billion, to Ecuador to build big infrastructure projects, power plants and transmission lines and distribution systems, ports, highways, industrial parks, things that didn't benefit anybody except the very wealthy people in those countries, who were quite corrupt, and we corrupted them. So our job was to convince, let's say, Ecuador to accept a $1 billion loan, convince the World Bank to give Ecuador a $1 billion loan. 90% of that $1 billion would come back to the United States to pay for Halliburton, Bechtel, these kinds of, or these types of companies, to build the infrastructure, and then, and which would only serve the wealthiest people in those countries. And then the country would be stuck with this huge debt, which over time would continue to be refinanced and get larger and larger and larger. So that in fact today, Ecuador owes more than 50% of its national budget just to pay down its debt service, which means there's very little money left to go to pay for the education or health services for the poor people, who are the ones who suffered from these projects. It was their rivers that were destroyed as we built hydroelectric plants. It was their land that was destroyed, and while a few of their people got wealthy, as a few of ours did. So now they're saddled with this incredible debt that they can't possibly pay. It's a terrible situation, and what it is all about is building empire. We've done this in every country around the world that has resources that we covet. Often this is oil in places like Indonesia, Nigeria, Ecuador, Venezuela, Colombia, so many different places, but sometimes it's other resources. For example, in Panama, it was the Panama Canal. And in this process, we've managed to create the largest empire in the history of the world, and we've done it largely without military might. It's been done primarily through economic hitmen like me. Now, when the economic hitmen fail, as we've done some, as we did in Panama with Omar Torrijos, and in Ecuador many years ago with Jaime Roldos when I was there, when we fail, the jackals are sent in. And these are CIA-sanctioned troublemakers. They will try to foment coups in a country. They'll try to overthrow the president. If they fail, if they're not able to do that, then they'll assassinate him. And Jaime Roldos of Panama, who was not overthrown, so he was assassinated. And Omar Torrijos of Jaime Roldos of Ecuador, Omar Torrijos of Panama, the same thing happened. We economic hitmen failed. The jackals went in and assassinated these presidents. It happened with Allende in Chile, Arbenz in Guatemala. It's part of what Vietnam was about. And when the jackals fail and the economic hitmen both fail, as in Iraq, the final step is for us to send in our young men and women to die and to kill. And that's what we're doing in Iraq today.
It's highly secretive. Many people think that, that must be just a conspiracy. But there is a very, very close tie-in with the far right and Bilderberg and the Freemasonry. It's highly secretive.
Child, there is power in a union.
So originally, the banking system, international banking, is said to have started in the 1300s with the Knights Templar. And they used it to finance the Crusades. They had ciphers that they'd use. You'd have your card, and they would tell you how much is on the card, and they changed the cipher, and that's how they distributed the money. Now, the interesting thing is that where did this suddenly come from? In the very beginning, the Templars, nine of them, went to Jerusalem and were digging underneath the temple and suddenly found something, and then all this stuff started to happen. Now, my feeling is that they probably found some Babylonian text, because Babylon had a lot of the banking and economic, you know, checks and everything that we use today, but it was lost over the Dark Ages. The Templars refound it, and shortly after it was put into place, they had a, you know, banking crisis in the 1400s. England went broke, and it's kind of the same thing we're headed into. It's a way of condensing wealth into the few hands at the expense of the many.